Neptune's Chalice, Chapter 1. A soft cobalt glow from the holographic data display filled Dr. Thomas Franz's office. As senior lead scientist and project director, he had decided to stay late again, long after his project team had gone home for the weekend. The research and development laboratory that Franz and his team called home for the last 5 years was nestled in the dense tropical forest near the western coast, just north of Lodemarcos, Mexico. Franz briefly allowed himself the luxury to reflect. When all was said and done, it had been an exciting week. The latest test results were extremely positive, and the project team believed they were very close to success. Franz believed they were already there, and was not prepared to undergo further replication or peer review. It was, he reminded himself, supposed to be a project of the highest classification level. It was also especially designed so that each team member worked only on specific aspects of the project and was not privy to other team members' research. Franz understood that he, and only he, could meaningfully put the puzzle together. All the more reason why he had decided to stay late to compile, collate, and pore over the latest test results once again. Aided by his supercomputer and several hot cups of strong coffee, Franz drilled deeply into the statistical significance and correlation of the numerous graphs, metadata, and anecdotal observations that had been collected by his team over the past 5 arduous years. With each passing hour, Franz's heart rate increased. The data he was analyzing brought a wide-eyed expression of confirmed expectation to his eyes, along with a subtle smile and an occasional subdued guttural laugh as he read each line of the data summary.
"Well, hello there, beautiful," he said, as if greeting an elusive love interest. "We've done it," he whispered, trying to suppress his excitement.
He looked over at the photo of his project team on the corner of his desk as if they were all standing in front of them. He said,
"My God, people, we have done it."
He paused, allowing himself the luxury of glaring at the prominent laser-carved marble name plaque on his desk. It was deliberately angled so that he could see it from behind his desk, and that any visitor seated in front of his desk could also see it at the same time. His name and title were dwarfed by the maxim that typified the man, his lifestyle, and his motivation. A quote from Einstein: "If A equals success, then the formula is A equals X plus Y and Z, with X being work, Y play, and Z keeping your mouth shut." Franz reclined in his chair, allowed his lungs to exhale a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding, closed his eyes, and reflected on how long it had taken them to reach this point, the sacrifices everyone on his team had made in the past 5 years were immeasurable. 1 miscarriage, 2 divorces, 4 cases of dysentery, and the accidental amputation of 2 fingers from their mechanical engineer's left hand. Franz recalled writing up the detailed incident report and then submitting it to the faculty's administrators, waiting for Mexico's Department of Labor and Social Welfare. STPS would soon arrive at his research facility to conduct an independent investigation. In the U.S., the equivalent government agency, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, would already have been banging the doors down to determine the root cause of the accident. The STPS never showed, and the project's financiers held no investigation of their own. They compensated the engineer handsomely and replaced him shortly afterwards. Franz never questioned it and continued to work diligently because he knew he was working on something very important, something that was bigger than the sum of its parts. His focus stayed on the project, but the isolation he and his team experienced day after day made him even more eager to complete this work and return to the land of the living.